Support for WGLT's Grow comes from FS Custom Turf by Evergreen FS. FS Custom Turf offers complete lawn and tree care services to preserve the health of yards, trees, and shrubs. Products and services detailed at evergreen-fs.com.
Gardening can be physically strenuous, and with any physical activity, injuries could result. Now, while accidents will happen, there are some things you can do to prevent getting hurt. I'm Mike McCurdy. This is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert Patrick Murphy from Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. Murph, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mike.
So what are some basics to be safe while gardening?
Well, I think the thing to keep in mind with anything that we do, work or play, is that safety comes first. And when it comes to work or play, we want to make sure that you're well rested and hydrated prior to getting started.
There are all kinds of gardening clothes. I usually just wear something old, but there are moisture wicking materials that will keep you cool and even reflect UV rays. What should we wear, and does the job at hand matter when it comes to what we put on our body?
I think it's largely a preference and taste issue, but you have to have some clean, serviceable work clothing, which is oftentimes nowadays much like the clothing that we play in. And it has moisture wicking abilities. It doesn't stink if you sweat it up a little bit in between washings. So if it's suited for outdoor work, it's suited for outdoor play, and usually vice versa.
And if you're going to use like power equipment, let's say a chainsaw, then you might need extra layers, some ripstop pants or chaps or something.
You better have some chaps on, eyewear, hand protection.
Eye protection, even with a weed whacker. I've had stuff, you know, just string has come up and hit me in the face.
If you're working in your yard, you should have something covering your eyes, even if you're not using a string trimmer.
So what do you want to say about sunscreen?
Well, as a skin cancer survivor, I can tell you that it's for real. Some of us have a greater genetic propensity than others. The sun is gentler in the winter months, but you can still get a sunburn because the wind's there to help you, and it's cold. So, yeah, if you're brave enough to work with your skin exposed in the winter, you still have to protect it with a hat, clothing, or sunscreen, and it's really common sense when it's not winter. The skin is sensitive to the sun, and it has to be protected usually more than just one way. So you've got the clothing with the sunscreen.
And make sure, you mentioned eye protection. Let's circle back to that just for a moment when we're talking about the sun. Make sure you get the sunglasses that actually offer some UV blockage.
Yeah, it's easy cheesy. Nowadays, you can get a pair for $3 or $4.
So let's talk about tools. I've always heard people are less likely to get cut with a sharp blade than a dull one. A dull blade can cause lack of control as the knife is forced through whatever it's trying to cut. Same thing apply to tools?
I think basically the understanding is the same, because the cutting bar on anything works better when it's sharp. If it doesn't work and there's resistance because it's dull or it's being used incorrectly, that's when you get in trouble with an accident.
So one of the things that I've always done is after I'm done with my tools, depending upon the how much moisture that they've run into, I'll sometimes just spray them off with WD-40 and hang them up. Is that good or bad?
I think that's good. Maintaining the metal in a clean manner is a good idea. You can do the same thing with a bucket full of sand for hose, shovels, axes, anything that you're forcing into the soil. It's a great way to give them a little cleaning and sharpen them at the same time.
If the work at hand requires someone to be on a ladder or on a roof, is it better to call a buddy and have somebody help you out?
Yeah, if it can't be a buddy, that's a fantastic idea. If it's not a buddy that's there working with you, you need to let someone that's close by know what you're up to. So if your spouse or your partner's not home to keep an eye on you, and maybe you would let a neighbor know, hey, I'm going to go get on a ladder and cut this down, and could you check on me in about 10 or 15 minutes? This is a big deal, because a lot of times I think gardeners get into bigger trouble, and landscape professionals too. You get hurt and there's no one there to help you. That's the scenario you need to avoid.
I always have a mental list of things I know I need to do around the house or in the garden or at my community garden plots. How important is sort of planning and prioritizing your day?
Well, you don't want to plan it to the extent you take away the fun, right? You know, so I know you'd like to do gardening projects. You do it all over town, Mike. You're not just doing it at your house. So we have to enjoy it. But at the same time, we're all aging every day, and it gets harder the older we get. And if you're by yourself, it's even harder. But having a clear understanding of what you're going to do, particularly what is the horticultural practice, how's the calendar relate to what you're going to do in your gardening project. I think that that's going to save you a lot of duplicitous effort, and there's a lot of satisfaction in knowing that you've made it look easy because you've done it the right way, and that's in line with best practices that lots of bright folks have thought about before we've even discussed this stuff.
So can you give me a for instance?
Yeah, how about we're going to conduct a general cleanup and winter pruning of the ornamentals and including the disposal of our plant debris. So if I'm going to winter prune my ornamentals, there may be a few in that mix that I got to hold off on the pruning because I don't want to cut the flowers off.
Lilacs, for instance,
yes.
Or forsythia.
Thank you. Right. So just having that clear understanding is going to prevent that, and it's also going to give you the greatest likelihood of success. Seeing it through, knowing what to anticipate. So in the example that I use, we're going to have to understand what are the best practices, what's the time frame for the dormant pruning for my woody plants, and what do I need to do that work? I'm going to need some pruners for the smallest cuts, loppers for stuff as big or slightly larger than your finger, and the hand saw that's anything, you know, the size of your arm down to your wrist.
So right tool for the job.
Right tools. And what's that include? Well, unfortunately, in this scenario, 5-6 pickup sticks. You're going to be picking up lots of garbage. And then you're going to finish the whole mission of your general cleanup by blowing the leaves and litter away from the foundation, out of your landscaping plants, and clearing it from the other leaf traps that you know exist in your yard because of the wind, for example.
I sometimes have limited time. I'm sure I'm not alone when it comes to finding time to do gardening. So I do what I call, I've sort of jokingly called this with my friends, power gardening, right? I'll have just a 60 to 90 minutes to bike down to my community garden. And while I'm there, while I'm biking down there, I'm making a mental list of the things I want to do. And I try to get it as much done as I possibly can in a short amount of time. You think slow and steady might be the better route to go. Am I risking an injury by sort of darting around and trying to get as much done as possible?
Well, not necessarily, right? You know, you have to have some fun. This is kind of, we alluded to this earlier. Slow and steady's good if it's something that's going to take you a while, something that you can't finish in a couple hours, for example. But I think talking about power gardening reminds me of something Laura Kennedy and I talked about before, and that was garden size. There's actually people that have videos and DVDs of maintaining proper posture, doing controlled breathing, keeping the handles below the shoulder and above the waist, rake palms up, rake palms down. Yeah, it's like anything else in our world. We make the most of it, like in your case, so you're biking there and you're going to do some work. I think the thing that where the roads meet is maintain a pace, make sure you stay hydrated, adjust your work gear, even stretch if you need to. So it's almost like you got the garden triathlon going, Mike. You show up on your bike and you jump off of that, and instead of taking off running, you're going to grab a rake.
But don't get in a frenzy, right? So,
yeah.
So sort of keep your head about you.
Maintain good posture, maintain good tool control, and you're going to avoid the strains and the pains.
Is there a gardener out there that's not checking the forecast on a regular basis? That can really set your day and set your priorities, can't it?
It can. And, you know, you can find that person if you take a ride on a rainy day in your car, not your bicycle.
They're out working
in
the rain.
Yeah, they're scrambling to get everything back in the house. But that's kind of a common sense thing to keep the weather in mind.
So what's the best part for you after you've had a hard day in the yard or garden?
I think it's the satisfaction of looking forward to seeing the work done and knowing that it's done. I'm going to take a hot shower, have a bite to eat, and then I'm going to admire the work that we did on the landscape.
Sounds great. If you have any questions about gardening safely and effectively, or any gardening question, get in touch at wglt.org/grow. I'm Mike McCurdy with Patrick Murphy from ISU's School of Biological Sciences. Send your gardening questions to wglt.org/grow.